All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Yud Beis. We are picking up Yud Aleph Amud Beis, almost a little bit towards the middle of the page. Right across, if you see Tosfos Achsanyo, that's where we're picking up in the Gemara. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Milt and Melanie Gertner in gratitude to the entire shir and to Moshe Abramson for keeping our virtual classmates connected. Shkoyach, and thank you for the sponsorship. So let's begin. Achsanya. Achsanya, lefi b'nei adam, l'schalekes, or lefi p'sachim mechsanas. Rabbos, remember again, so yesterday we were discussing how to divide up space within the chatzar. And the idea being we've established that every single entranceway gets Dalet Amos. Fine. Now the question becomes Achsanya. Rabbos, if you look at Rashi says, Achsanya, Rashi says, let me just find the Rashi. Chayel shel melech hamuta al bnei ha'ir lo seis lamachsayim b'vateyem. So, Rabbos, remember again, historically, if a king was marching his army through a particular place, so the halacha was of the king that the local residents would have to go ahead and provide the soldiers with room and board. So the shayla is, how do you divide up that responsibility amongst the members of the chatzer? Is that lefi b'nei adam mischalakas or lefi p'sachim mischalakas? Is it divided ultimately again by the number of people, meaning there's equal distribution, or interestingly enough, is it also divided by doorways? In other words, we're both saying, essentially, do we assume that every single doorway represents its own household, and therefore, again, you house the number of soldiers corresponding to the doorways, or do we count mishpachos? Now, of course, the practical difference is, I live in a home with three entrances, but it's one family. It's one family. So how do we divide up the soldiers? Amalei, lefi b'nei adam ischalekes. When deciding how to go ahead and house the soldiers, we divide it up by the number of families. Tanya l'malach, Rabbi said, supports this. Zevel shebechatzim ischalekes lefi p'sachim. So we'll say, zevel, meaning, remember, fertilizer in the chatzar is divided up by the number of doorways. So each doorway gets an entitlement, ultimately, again, to a certain amount of the zevel, of the manure. Achsanya lefi b'nei adam. I will say, when deciding how to go ahead and house the soldiers, so that is divided up ultimately, again, in accordance with the number of people in the chasam. Rafuna, echad min beba mavui shebikesh listam kineged pischo. So it's an interesting halacha. If there was one of the members of the mavui who wanted to put the mechitza in front of his dalaram, so if you can imagine the following. Remember, you have multiple chatzeros that open up into a mavoi, that open up into a shared alleyway. That shared alleyway goes into the Rishus HaRabim. Now remember, as we've established, the same way that every doorway has Dalet Amos in the chatzer opposite its doorway, every chatzer has Dalet Amos in the mavoi opposite its mavoi, opposite its chatzer entrance. Let's say one of the chatzeros wants to go ahead and what? And put up a mechitza by his entranceway into the mavui. Now, what that would do is that would cause a detour for the other members of the mavui. Because remember, again, he's not blocking off the area in its entirety, but they would have to go around the mechitza. So the Gemara says, "Bnei mavui ma'akvin alav shemar ba'alei nesadach." The halacha is the other members of the mavui could stop him from putting up the mechitza. Why? Because it causes him then to have to take a circuitous route. Maisi, the Gemara is the kasha. Chamish chatzeros psuchos the mavui kula mishtam shos imachitzona. So we'll say the halacha is the following. Let's say you have five chatzeros that open up into a mavui. That mavui opens up into the Rishus HaRabim. So what's the halacha? Kula mishtam shos imachitzona. All of the chatzeros have the ability to go ahead and walk through the Dalet Amos of the mavui that belongs to the outermost chatzer. Vachitzona mishtameshes mishtameshes la'atzma. Right, and the chitzona, but the outer chatzer can only go ahead and what? Use the Dalet Amos opposite its own space, but not the Dalet Amos opposite the spaces of the other chatzeros. And I'm going to say the reason for that is because that outer one has no need to go inside. Because remember, that outer one is right by the Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, all he needs to do is go out. Because he doesn't need to go inside, he doesn't have access to the other Dalet Amos of the other chatzeros. So the Gemara says, "Vashar mishtam shosim mashni." Excuse me. Vashar. vachitzona mishtameshes la'atzma. Vashar mishtameshes im hashniya. Everyone else has the ability, meaning everyone behind the second chatzar has the ability to use the lamps the second chatzar. Vashniya mishtameshes la'atzma u'mishtameshes im hachitzona. So you have the visual image over here. So imagine five chatzeros. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One on, kind of going one on top of the other. There's one alleyway, it's closed on the bottom, open on the top. The top goes out to the Shasar Rabin. Essentially, what the Gemara is saying is the following, that the first Chatzar, which is the one closed to the Shasar Rabin, has access, of course, to his Dalaramis, but doesn't have access to the other Dalaramis, in the other Chatzar. So the reason for that is because he has no need to go there. So number two has access to his own and access to number one, but not to 3, 4, and 5. He has no reason to go there. 3 has access to his and 2 and 1, but not to 4 and 5. 4 has access to his, you understand? And ultimately 5 has access to everyone. That's what it's saying over here. So the Gemara says, "Ba'kitzona nimseis penimis mishtameshes la'atzma u'mishtameshes im kol achos va'achos." Therefore, I will say, it turns out that what? That the innermost chatzer, which is number 5 for us, uses his dalaramis and the dalaramis of all the other chatzeros as well. Now, both say, now the reason why this poses a question is because of the following. The Gemara seemed to indicate before that Lamaisa, all the members of a mavui, have unrestricted use and access to the mavui. Yet here the Gemara is telling me that what? That is not the case. Here the Gemara is saying that you only have access in the mavui corresponding to the areas you need to access. But any other areas are simply off limits, which the Gemara says tanoihi. In reality, this is a machlokes tanoi. So the Gemara says the following. This sanya, because we learn, if you have a member of one mavui who wanted to open up his chatzer into another mavui, so what's the halacha? So the members of the mavui of mavui B have the ability to stop him from doing so because he's going to increase additional traffic. But let's say he had an opening in his mavui, right? That he sealed. An opening in his chatzar into mavui B that he had previously sealed up, and now he wants to reopen it. So we'll say in that case where there was a doorway already there to Mavui B and it was sealed up, so ultimately again the members of Mavui B cannot prevent him from reopening that doorway. Divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Chamish Chatzeros Apsuchos LaMavui. And Rav Shimon Elazar said, 5 Chatzeros that open up into one Mavui, Kulan Mishtamshos B'Mavui Zu Im Zu. All of them have the ability to go ahead and use the mavui. So the Gemara says, Chatzeros v'andechar shmayu. Why are you bringing up chatzor here? What does that have to do with anything? To which the Gemara says, Chisrei mechzev achi katani. Here's how you have to read it. V'chin chamish chatzeros hapsuchos l'mavui, kulan mishtamshos in achitzona, v'achitzona mishtamshos la'atzma. Rather, we'll say the way to read it is, though you have 5 chatzeros that open up into a mavui, all of them have unrestricted use for the entire mavui. Divrei Rebbe. Shimon Elazar Omer, Chamish Chatzeros Apsuchos L'mavui, Kulam Mishtamshos B'mavui. So both say, so again, so bottom line, Halacha L'maaseh, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, is that this is a machlokes time. It's actually quite a fascinating machlokes. So when you have multiple chatzeros, which open up into one joint mavui, so do we say that all the members of the chatzer, all the neighboring chatzeros, have unrestricted use in the mavui, or do we say no? You only have what we'll call utilitarian use in the mavui. In other words, you could use the mavui for what is necessary, but not for what is unnecessary. In other words, you could use the mavui essentially to get out to Rosh Hasharabim. But any other use of the mavui that's not necessary to get out to Rosh Hasharabim is going to be us. So we'll say this indeed is a machlokes tanoim. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, another interesting case. Hayasasum ubikesh taposcho. Ein b'nei mavui ma'akvinas. Remember we said before, so imagine the following situation. I live in a chatzer, and my chatzer is in between two mavuos. I have an entranceway to mavui A. I used to have an entranceway to mavui B, but then I sealed it up. Now I decide I want to reopen it. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The members of Mavui B cannot stop me from doing so by telling me that I am increasing traffic. Why? Because that entranceway is there. Because the entranceway is there. It's just sealed up. However, listen to this. Amar Rava, lo shono elo shelo paras es p'simov. Ava paras es p'simov b'nei Mavui ma'akvinar. We'll say, this is only true when I did not remove the door frame. But if you see, when it says sealed up means that what? I just like plastered, I drywalled the doorway. But the doorway is there. Once you remove the doorway, then what? Then it's considered as if there's no doorway there anymore. And to remake that doorway would be reintroducing an entrance into Mavoi B, and that the members of Mavoi B could stop me from doing. Similarly, Amalei Rav Abayi, Taidim Seyelachom. So Abayi says to Rav, there's a Brayse that supports you. We'll say, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Bayis Sasum, Yesh Mo Dalet Ames. We'll say, interesting halacha. If you have a home that inside of it has a grave, right? Inside of it has a grave. And what happens? I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. If you have a home that has a doorway, so remember again, even if that doorway is closed off, that doorway is given Dalet Ames in the Chatzar. Okay. Paras es Petzimov, but once you remove the door frame, ain't no Dalet Ames. The halacha is that doorway no longer has Dalet Ames. Kever shepischo sasum. So we'll say, listen to this. Let's say you have a grave, or probably better stated, a tomb. And what happens? There's a doorway. So even if the doorway is plastered, closed, the halacha is that grave does not convey tuma to people within Dalet Ames, ultimately, again, of the doorway. Because, again, the doorway acts as a barrier to the grave. Paratz es petzimov. But if you pulled out the doorway and plastered in that entire area, v'sasmo, metami kolsiyov. Then Rabbi say, once you move the doorway, then what? That entire structure is considered to be what? It's considered to be a grave. It's closed off, considered to be one big grave. And therefore, the halach is, remember, you are not permitted to come within, you're not permitted. You can contract tuma by coming within Dalet Ames of a grave. Bayis sasum eino metame kol sevivav. Similarly, if you have a homer bosa that has a corpse inside of it, say if there's a doorway and that door is closed, right? So then again, tuma does not spread. Even if what? Even if that doorway is sealed off. However, paras es petzimav. But if you pull out the door frame, then what? Metame kol sevivav. Then a bosa. So you see, what's the common theme? The common theme is that if you seal off a doorway, but the frame is there, so it still has the identity of a doorway. Once you pull out the door frame, it is no longer considered to be a doorway. And again, with all the different ramifications. So in a chatzah, you won't get Dalet Ames. For a grave, the whole thing now becomes a tomb. And therefore, again, one will contract tuma even with coming in within Dalet Ames. Amar Rabbah Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Now, these are very interesting halachos as well. Listen to this. So we actually saw this in Erevin. So Mavoi Mefaleshes literally means an alleyway, but it really means a street. If you have a street or an alleyway that runs from one city to another. So we'll say, imagine for a moment you have an alleyway, like in a small village, that goes from city B, like yet you say you have A, B, and C, and there is an alleyway that takes you from A to C. You can travel right across B. And what happens? So we'll say, so what happens? The residents of B want to close it off. Right? Why do they want to close it off? Because they're tired of all of the traffic going from A to C. So what's the halacha? B'nei Osa Ir Me'ak Min Alav. The residents of city C could prevent the residents of city B from going and closing off that artery. Why? So the Gemara says, Lomi boy kileka darka achrina. So it goes without saying, if the only way to get to city C is through city B, so of course the residents of C can prevent the residents of B from closing off the artery. Why? Because that's the only way that the residents of C could get to their city. So the Gemara says, Ella afilu kiika darka achrina nami ma'akvi. We'll say, but the truth is, even if there's another way to get to C, the residents of C can still prevent the residents of B from closing off that artery. Why is that? So the Gemara says, Mishum Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Amar Meitzer Shech Ziku Bo Rabim Aser Lekalko. I will say, this really is a fascinating halacha that has many ramifications, which is that once the general public has established its right of passage on a particular tract of land, no one has the right to stop that. Now remember, right now, we're not... So, there are distinctions between when this happens on personal grade. This happens all the time. I buy a house, and what happens? So it turns out that the neighborhood people have been cutting across my yard for the last 25 years. So, okay, the previous neighbor didn't mind. I mind. I mind. I don't want people walking across. So I'll say, so again, these are interesting halachic discussions. This is this considered something that the rabbim have established their right on, and therefore I, even though technically it's my property, I don't have the right to stop it or not. Now here it's a little bit different, because in this case, we're talking about not anyone's individual property, but jointly on a mavoi, which is owned by the chatzar people. But nevertheless, the halacha is, once the general populace has established their chazaka in using this area, the yachid cannot go ahead and shut it down. Kid Rav Gidl, Dom Rav Gidl, Rabim Sheberu Derech La'atzmon, Ma Shebaru Baru. Because Rav Gidl says, once the rabbim have chosen a path for themselves, what is chosen, and no one is permitted to take that away from them. Amar Ravanan, Amar Shmuel, Mavuos HaMefulav Shosir Shosir Rabim, also, listen to this halacha. So let's say, imagine you have a mavui that's open up into Rosh Sarabin. And what happens? The people of the mavui want to put up a gate. They want to live in a gated mavui community. Right? So what happens? Now, really, why do they want to put in a gate? Because they don't want the people of Rosh Sarabin coming in. Now, that's the idea over here. So what's the halacha? This is interesting. The members of the Rosh Sarabim have the ability to stop them. Why is that? Savar mina hani mili b'dalar amos kirabi zera. Amr Nachman. Dalar amos asmuchos Rosh Sarabim kirosh Sarabim damyon. So I would have thought Rabbi say this is true of what? If the members of the Mavui want to put those doors within Dalit Amis of the entrance of the Mavui. So why? Because Rabbi say there's a halacha that says that the first Dalit Amis of the Mavui are considered to be part of the Rosh Sarabim. So therefore, if they wanted to put their fence literally at the entrance of the Mavui, that's a problem, because Rosh Sarabim gets an extra Dalit Amis cushion. To which the Gemara says, "Velohiyam, that's not true." Hasam leinyan tuma. So we'll say there actually that halacha that the first dalit amos of the mavui have a din of Rosh Sarabim. That's actually a din in tuma. What is it, a din in tuma? We'll say the halacha is that safek tuma birshus harabim is considered to be tahar. Right? Any type of doubt when it comes to tuma, if that doubt arises in the public domain, we resolve that leniently. That halacha doesn't just apply in the Rosh Sarabim, but it also applies what? Within the first dalit amos of the mavui that have the din of Rosh Sarabim as well. So we're not talking about tuma over here. Hasam linyan tuma. Aval hocha, there's a different issue over here. Zinnin dedachki b'nei Rosh Sarabim v'ayli tuva. I will say the issue over here is the following. The issue over here is that halacha lemaisa, what the mavoi often serves to accommodate overflow rishus harabim traffic. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Velohi shafilu ratzu la'amidan lifnim midalat amos makna. So we'll say, listen to this. So the halacha is that the members of, so what happens over here? The members of the mavoi want to put up a gate. So they say like this. The truth is, we're willing to move back our gate, meaning we're willing to accept the fact that the first dalat amos of our mavoi have the din of Rosh Sarabim space, so we'll put our gate 5 amas into Rosh Sarabim. So we'll say the halacha, the Gemara says, is still, the B'nai Rosh Sarabim could prevent that from happening. Why? Because that din of Dalar Amas is a din of Tumah. But in reality, it's almost like the Rosh Sarabim has a lean against the Mavui to accommodate overflow traffic. And sometimes that overflow traffic, pedestrian traffic, is going to extend even what? Even further than Dalit Amis into the Mavui. So because of that, Rabbi said, the members of a Mavui do not have the right to go ahead and put up a gate at the entrance of that Mavui, even if they're willing to recess the gate Dalit Amis into the Mavui. Incredible halacha. So we'll say now again, remember the Mishnah said, talking about the halachas of chalukah, the halachas of division. So remember again, one partner cannot force the division of a Sada, unless of course there is enough land for each of them to plant 9 kav of seed. So the Gemara says, remember again, the second opinion in the Mishnah said, it's not 9 kav, but rather what is it? Rabbi Huda said, tisha chatzi kavin, 9 half kavs. So the Gemara says, they're not arguing. Mar kiasrei, umar kiasrei. So we'll say each one were reflecting the norms in the particular locales in which they lived. But Bava Mai. So we'll say, now the Gemara has an interesting question. So what's Halacha Bava? What's Halacha Bava? So meaning, here's the principle. The principle is one partner could force the division of partnership assets as long as what? As long as each partner is going to end up with something significant. So asks the Gemara, what is considered to be significant in Bava? in Babel was considered to be a significant field that one partner could force another to split. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kiradu Yoma. The halacha is, it has to be a field that is large enough that takes an entire day to plow. So if the field is large enough that it takes an entire day to plow, that's the type of field that you could force a division about. To which the Gemara says, my bay radu yoma. What does that mean? A field for which you need an entire day to plow. I yoma dezara tre yoma karva lo havi. So let's listen to this. So remember, the Gemara's reflecting is the following idea. They used to plow the field twice. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. They used to plow the field twice. They would plow it once. They would plow once, what they called during the plowing season, or I should say during the planting season, Zara, and they would plow it again during the plowing season. So apparently what they would do is the following. They would go ahead and they would plow the field initially, loosen up the soil, and then they would plow it again right when they were about to go ahead and plant a seed, put down the seed. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. If you're telling me that it would take one day during the planting season, then that would not represent 2 days of work during the plowing season. I yoma karva, yoma dezara lohavi. And if it would take a full day during the plowing season, that would not be a full day during the planting season. So we'll say, so we're just trying to figure out, what does it mean? What's the size of a field? What does it mean when we say it would take an entire day to plow it? So we'll say a couple possibilities. Either number one, yoma dekarva, dekarivitani. So we'll say one possibility is, it's a field that would take a day to plow during the plowing season. And the situation over here is where they used to go ahead and plow it twice at the time of the planting. Or the other possibility is, it's a field that takes one day to plow during the planting season, but it's a hilly field. So because it's a hilly field, I guess a hilly field takes a little bit longer to plow. Davla. So we'll say, what about a davla? Now what's davla? So Rashi says over here, Imyesh lahen bar shemena mashkin sada. Let's say two partners own an irrigation pit. Right, or a pit of water. So we'll say, how large does that pit have to be in order for one partner to be able to force a division with his fellow? So the Gemara says, Amrav Nachan, Bey de Aluyoma. There has to be enough, look at Rashi, Bey de Aluyoma, Ad Shehebo Kedei Lahashko, Sade Kedei Pulas Yom Lazeh, U Kedei Pulas Yom Lazeh, Mishum Schapa. So we'll say, there has to be enough water in there that each of them could irrigate their field for an entire day of work. Pardesa. We'll say, what about a vineyard? In other words, how large does a vineyard have to be in order for one partner, in order for a partner to force a split? It has to be the size of 3 kav. That supports this. If somebody says to his friend, I'm selling you a portion of a vineyard, but he doesn't quantify what is a portion of a vineyard, Simcha Somer, Lo Yifchos Migimel Kavin. Simcha says the minimum definition of a vineyard is 3 kav. Amrabasi, Ein elu ela divrei nevius. Supposed to listen to this. So Ravasi said that the words of Avua de Shmuel. So supposed to remember again, Avua de Shmuel said that the minimum size for a vineyard in order to force a split is 3 kav. Rabbi Yossi says the words of Avua de Shmuel are like words of prophecy. Now, what does that mean? It's words of prophecy. Look at Rashi. Ein elu divrei nevius below tam. Otherwise, they don't have no logic. We'll say now he's not disputing it. What he's saying is Avua de Shmuel. You seem to be saying something arbitrary, yet it's correct. So the Gemara says, "Bebavel mai." So what's the halacha in Bavel? Right? What's the halacha? I mean, eiz or gidel bekar. Meaning, what's the size of a vineyard that could force the split? Amar Rava Bar Kisna, tlas it's tlas atzisa. We'll say it has to be. I'm sorry, I lost the place over here. Right, tlas osisa. So we'll say it has to be ultimately again 3 rows. So the Gemara said, but each of those rows b'nei tlesar gufni, 3 rows with 12 vines. Kihechi derafik gavra biyoma. This would be enough of a field ultimately again for someone to tend to over the course of a day. Amar Rabbi Avdimi demin chayfa miyom shavosei. So now, interestingly enough, now that Rabbi Yossi said before that the words of Avua de Shmuel are what? Are divrei nevius, are words of prophecy, so that it opens up Rav Avdimi to speak about prophecy a little bit. It's actually a beautiful Gemara. Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash, nitla nevua min hanaviyim, benitna lachachamim. from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, prophecy was taken from the prophets and was given to the Talmidei Chachamim. Atu Chacham Lav Navihu. I don't understand. You make it sound like it's two different categories. Why can't the Chacham be included as a Navi as well? To which the Gemara says, you're right, Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. Afal Pi Shenitla Min HaNaviim. Min HaChachamim Lo Nitla. They both say, even though what? Even though prophecy was taken from the Nevi'im, it was not taken from the Chachamim. So both say, so Nevuah still could exist in certain places by certain Talmidei Chachamim. Amar HaMeimar, V'Chacham Adif Minavi. And HaMeimar said, a Chacham is even more important than a Navi. How so? Where do we know that from? Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, V'Navi Levav Chachma. That ultimately, again, the Navi has a heart of wisdom. Me nitla b'mi. So I'll say, who is dependent on who? Omer katan nitla b'gadol. The smaller one is dependent on the greater one. So we'll say, when it says, v'navi levav chachma, what it's saying is, what makes the Navi a Navi? What makes a Navi a Navi is his chachma. So you see over here that a chacham is even greater than a Navi. Amar Abaye, teidu da amar gavra rabba, milsa, umis amra mishme de gavra rabba achrina kavasi. So we'll say, so Abaye is trying to prove that chachamim have nevuah. How do you know that Chachamim have Nevuah? So Abai says, you know, sometimes a great man will say something, and then someone else, Miss Amra Mishmei de Gavra Rabba Achrina Kavase, and then he will hear that someone else, another great man, said the same exact thing. So his ability to be Mechaving to something that someone else said is what? Is a display ultimately of prophecy. So his Gemara says, Amar Rav Rav says, I don't know if that's prophecy. Am I Kushna? Maybe they both have the same mazel. Now, what does it mean about that same mazel? So remember, in this context, it doesn't really refer to astrological signs, but rather in this context, what it's referring to is the following. Maybe both of them just have the same type of intellect. In other words, maybe they just the same, maybe they both go through the same types of thought processes. The reason why one is being mechaving to the great idea of the other has nothing to do with prophecy. Just sometimes people follow along the same lines of reasoning. To which the Gemara says, "Ela Amar, Ela Amar Rava Teida, the Amar Gavra Rava Milsa." Umisamra Mishmei Sarova says, I'll tell you the proof that Chacham have prophecy. Sometimes a great person will say something. Umisamra Amad Beis. Umisamra Mishmei De Rabbi Akiva Bar Yosef Kavase. And I will say, what happens? A person will say something, and they'll be mechaving to saying that Rabbi Akiva said. So obviously, again, I might be mechaving that Rabbi Akiva said, I'm not like Rabbi Akiva. So how do you explain that? The way you would explain that must be through Nevuah. Rav Ashi, Umay Kosh, Rav Ashi, Yud Beis, Amud Beis, second line, Dilma, Laha Milsa, Bar Mazli. Rav Ashi, I might not be the same Rabbi Akiva, but it could be that in certain areas, again, I have the same type of thought process as Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting, and this is actually quite amazing. The Gemara is entertaining the possibility that when you're mechaving to something that someone great said, that is a manifestation of some type of prophetic insight. To which the Gemara is saying, maybe that's not prophetic. Maybe it's just that sometimes people think in the same ways. So and again, that's possible that I could even tap into the thought process of someone who is significantly greater than me, and we need not attribute that to prophecy. Says the Gemara, the Amar of Ashi Teda, the Amar Gavra Rabba Milsa, Umis Amra Halach Ala Moshe Misinai Kavase. So rather says Rav Ashi the following, you know what does happen sometimes? A great person will say something, and then it will turn out that which they are saying is in fact a halacha la Moshe Misinai. So we'll say, so to be mechaving, to kind of stumble upon, not stumble upon, but to, I know what the good English word, to be mechaving to something, to be mechaving to something that is a halacha la Moshe Misinai, which is not the thought process of another person, but the thought, to intuit something that is a halacha la Moshe Misinai, that is not of the thought process of another person. So to intuit the divine, that says the Gemara, or that suggests Rav Ashi, is a manifestation of the fact that Chachamim do in fact have Nevuah. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Vedilma kisuma ba'aruba. This is very interesting. So Vedilma kisuma ba'aruba means maybe you're like a blind person in a well-lit area. Which in other words means what? That even blind people sometimes wander into well-lit areas. It's not because they're following their vision. It's just simply because what? They happen to be in the right place at the right time. Look at Rashi. So we'll say, remember again, after all, when this person is being mechavin to Aloha Lamosha Misinai, they're often advancing what? They're often advancing their own svara. They're advancing their own logic. So because of that, says the Gemara, because they're advancing logic, they're making a logical argument, but lav dafka, that they are intuiting the divine will. So we'll say, so therefore, the Gemara doesn't conclusively prove this idea. So the Gemara, although the Gemara begins with a thesis, namely, that even though once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there are no longer Nevi'im, there are no longer prophets, but Chachamim still possessed Nevuah. So though the Gemara makes that statement, the Gemara hasn't really proven that statement. So that leads to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, this is amazing. Nitla Nevuah min HaNevi'im. So from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nevuah was taken from the prophets. V'nitna l'shotim u'letinokos. And it was given to fools and to children. To fools and to children. So I'll say, so just by the way, what's the common denominator between fools and children? Common denominator? No das, but also no ego. No ego. Children, right? Children, unless their parents are incredible bailei gaiva, right? You definitely have arrogant children. That's usually because of arrogant parents. It's a very important yisod. You know, I can see, you know, it's cute sometimes. Parents like to call their children, oh, my little tzaddik, my little this. I would say it's not a good idea to call your children tzaddikim. Your children, I'm sure, are wonderful. I don't know if they're tzaddikim. Right? You know, meaning the title tzaddik should probably be earned, right? A kid should do something, you know, besides, you know, stop wearing diapers in order to be called a tzaddik. You know, that's, but if you, the problem is, you know, if you're calling your kid a tzaddik, or they're wonderful, the best, you know, it's wonderful to be a parent that's filled with pride, but you have to be careful not to fill your kid's head or his heart with gaiva. So normal children who grow up with normal parents, no, normal is a very relative term, ultimately, again, don't have ego. That's the beauty of children. That's why children inherently are able to be mavater, again, with the right chinuch. They're able to yield because there's not that same sense of ego. Shotim, fools, also don't have ego. Rosa, this goes to a different motif, which is that the Shechina requires humility. That's the biggest need that the Shechina needs in order to reside upon an individual's humility. So often we're not humble. Why am I not humble? Because the truth is, I have accomplishments, I have this, I have that. So children and shotim are often humble. That humility allows them to be kelim for the Shechina. So this is amazing. So the Gemara says, and we'll say, by the way, you see this very often in the Gemara. When the Gemara, we saw this with Elisha ben Avuya, this Gemara happens, where people want to know, what is the Ratzon Hashem? They'll often go over to a child and they'll say, psokli psukeich, what are you learning in yeshiva? Tell me a pasuk that you're learning. And there's almost like a feeling that whatever pasuk that child says, there's some divine message embedded in that pasuk. You see shotim, you see fools lying. We'll say, again, I will tell you, we see this sometimes, where you look at people who are often on the periphery, because at the end of the day, they just don't fit in any way. And you see something exceptionally unique about them. There's just something different. I don't mean different in a strange way. That might be there also, but different in a ruchni way. There's a quality that's there that you can't put your finger on what it is, but you see that it's otherworldly. So the Gemara said, the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Nevuah was taken from everyone else, but given to Shotim and Tinokos. The Shotim Mai. So I'll say, so what's the deal with Shotim? So the Gemara says, Kia Dimar Baravashi, so we'll say, ultimately, again, Rav Ashi was one time standing in Ristika de Mechuza. He was one time, Rav Ashi says, Shuk. He was one time standing in the Shuk, in the marketplace of Mechuza. Shamei lahu shote, he heard a fool. Fool, shote means a fool. We'll say, a deranged person. Dikamar, Reish misivta de malach b'masa mechasya, tivyu mechasin. The next Rosh Hashiva in Masa Mechasya signs his name as Tivyumi. Signs his name as Tivyumi. Amar, man chaset Tivyumi Drabar. So we'll say, listen to this. So Amar bar Rav Ashi is listening to this. Now, he doesn't know this Shota. This Shota doesn't know him. But amazingly enough, Rav Ashi, Mar bar Rav Ashi used to sign his name as Tivyumi. Now, why he did that is a different discussion. That's how he signed his name, Tivyumi. So we'll say, there is no way that this Shota knew Mar Bar Vashi, and Mar Bar Vashi did not know this individual. Yet, this Shota blurts out, the next Rosh Yeshiva and Masa Mechasya is going to sign his name Tivyumi. Amar Man Chasim Tivyumi Rabbanon. Who else signs their name as Tivyumi amongst Rabbanon? Ana, it's only me. Shmami no, Lididi Kaimali Shaito. Therefore, it would appear that what? My hour has arrived. In other words, that this must be my destiny to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Kam Asa. So what happens? He goes back to Masa Mechasya. So what happens when he was coming back? So apparently there was a vacancy for the Rosh Yeshiva of Masa Mechasya. Apparently the Rosh Yeshiva had passed away. So the other rabbis there wanted to appoint Rav Acha of Difti. Kevan Dishami Daasa, when they heard that Mar Bar Vashi returned to town, Shadar Zuga Dirabanal Ligabe Leim Luchebe. So we'll say, remember again, they were not going to appoint another Rosh Yeshiva without consulting Mar Bar Vashi. So Mar Bar Vashi has just heard from the Shota, that from in the Nevuah Dikaway, that he's supposed to come to Rosh Yeshiva. He comes back to Masa Mechasya, they're in the midst of appointing Rav Acha of Difti. So what happens is when they get back to Masa Mechasya, the members of the yeshiva, they sent two Tamidi Chachamim to Mar Bar Vashi to discuss this appointment with him. What happens? Akve. So Mar Bar Vashi kept them with him. He did not send them back. Shadar Zugad Rabban Lachrino. So the yeshiva sent another two Tamidi Chachamim to Mar Bar Vashi to discuss the appointment of Rav Acha as Rosh Yeshiva with him. So what happens? And Mar Bar Vashi kept them all with him. So they kept sending Tamidi Chachamim ad demalu be'asara, until there was a minyan of people with Mar Bar Vashi. When that occurred, kevan demalu be'asara pasachu v'tana v'darash. So we'll say what happens? Mar Bar Vashi begins giving the opening shir klavi. He begins giving a shir to the minyan. Lefi shein poschin bekala pachos v'asara. Because we'll say the way it used to work is they would never begin any major shir without first having a minyan. Kari Rav Acha Nafshei. So we'll say, so what happens? So after Mar Bar Vashi began giving shir, the other Talmidei Chachamim were so enthralled by his Torah that they said, we're not appointing Rav Acha of Difti as the Rosh Yeshiva, rather we are appointing Mar Bar Vashi as Rosh Yeshiva. So Mar Bar Vashi becomes Rosh Yeshiva. What happens, Rav Acha Bar Difti? This is amazing. Kari Le Rav Acha Nafshei. So Rav Acha used to say about himself, Kala Marian Lo, Lobe Mehera Mativen Lo. But say, all those who suffer setbacks, it's not always easy to rebound. For Chalamat even lo, and anyone who experiences again an incredible bracha, lo b'mehera mirian lo, does not quickly suffer a setback. Which is another way of saying, the current state in which you find yourself in life, sometimes, depending on the circumstances, may take a little while to rebound. If the circumstances are difficult, it may be difficult to rebound from that. But ultimately, again, if a person is encountering bracha, hopefully that bracha will be sustained. So Vacha said, listen, you know what? No, it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. And he thought it was supposed to be Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Mar Bar Vashi becomes Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Acha lamented the setback. No, I thought things were going to be good. I didn't get the job. I'm sure I'll rebound. It may just take a little bit of time. Tinokes mahi. So must remember again, the next case was, the Gemara said that Nevuah rests with children. So what's the case of a child? So the Gemara says the case of a Tinokes means a little girl. What was the case of a little girl? Kiha debas Ravchista. Havayastiv bekanfe. So what's his name? Is Kanfe davua. The daughter of Ravchista was once sitting on her father's lap. Or literally sitting in the corner, in the cloak of her father. He was trying to arrange a shidduch for her. So what happens? Two great men are in front of her, Rava and Rami Bar Chama. And what happens? And he says to her, Amar lo, man minayhu bois. Which one of these men do you want to marry? So again, he's trying to arrange the shidduch. I will say, by the way, this is in accordance with the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, which is that a woman should not marry a man. Or I should say, even if a father has the ability to marry off her daughter, he should not do so without her consent. That's this Gemara over here. So he's asking her, which one of these men would you like to marry? To which the Gemara says, Amrale, Tarvaihu. So she said, I'd like to marry both of them. So we'll say, so what was happening over here? So again, she had no idea of the impact of her words. What she was saying was what? Ultimately, again, I'm going to marry the first, he's going to die, and then I'm going to marry the second. So she ultimately made a prophetic statement. Now, here's what's amazing. So Rava picked up on this. Amarava, V'ana Basra. I'd like to be the second guy. Which is an incredible yisod. So Rava picked up on the fact that this little girl was saying something prophetic. He picked up on it. See, he jumped on this and he said, fine, meaning I buy into this, but I'm going to be the second guy. An incredible yisod. Says Gemara, so we'll say, so first of all, again, there's so much to say in all of these Gemaras, but this idea that Nevuah exists in this world, just sometimes what? Sometimes it exists in interesting places that we would not normally look for it. Amrav Avdimi Dimin Chaifa. Kodem Sheyochal Adam Yishta, Yeshlo Shtei Levavos. So we'll say, it's another beautiful Gemara. Before a person eats and drinks, often he has two different hearts. However, but after he eats and drinks, he only has one heart. Shneimar ish nevov liyelaviv uksev nevov luchos umetargaminan chalil luchos. So what's that? Because the pasuk says ish nevov yelaviv. Literally, an empty person yelaviv will have multiple hearts. Uksev nevov luchos umetargaminan chal luchin. Empty. Excuse me. Hollow tablets. So which is another way of saying what? That before a person eats and drinks, often they don't have the yishav hadas. They don't have a settled mind in order to be able to decide on things clearly. Again, this is a very straightforward statement. Once a person eats and drinks, they're calmer, they have a settled mind, and therefore, again, they don't equivocate as much. They're able to go ahead and choose a derech, and choose, and make a decision much more clearly. Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua, Harogil b'yayin, this is another very interesting Gemara. Harogil b'yayin, afilo libo atom kibesula, yayin mefakcho. Well, another beautiful, beautiful idea. If somebody normally drinks, Harogil b'yayin means somebody drinks on a regular basis, you know, not in an unhealthy way, chas v'shalom. What it means is, harogil b'yayin, afilo libo atom kibesula. Even if his heart is as closed off as the basula, the same way that the basula is closed off, so to speak. So even if his heart is as closed off, yayin mefakcho. Ultimately, the wine opens up his heart. Shene emar, v'tirosh yinovev basulos. That ultimately, and I will say in this context, what it means is the wine will open the mouths of the basula, which means that the basula is normally reserved. The wine will get her to open her mouth to sing a little bit. Wine has the ability ultimately to what? To open up the hearts and to open up the minds. And yes, sometimes you have to be careful because it also has to open up the mouth of people. I was saying, but the idea that Gemara is saying over here, what's the point of this teaching? The point of this teaching of Bosai is that sometimes in life, we need certain things to be able to take the edge off just a little bit. So sometimes if a person is having a little bit of a difficult time, a meal could settle their mind a little bit and allow them to make certain decisions, allow them to clarify certain approaches. Sometimes a person feels very anxious, and again, the libo is the heart, is atum, a little bit of yayin has the ability to go a very far way. So I'll say, let me see what time it is. All right, let's just do one more line. Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua, Pshita, Chelik Bechor v'Chelik Pashit, Yavina le'achad mitzvah. So it's an interesting halacha. So Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua says the following, that let's say again, there's Reuven and Shimon. Their father dies, they inherit property. So Reuven inherits, so there's a parcel of the father's estate that happens to be right next to a parcel of land that Reuven already owns. So what's the halacha, Rabosai? The halacha is, we will give Reuven the piece of inheritance that abuts his already owned land. In other words, that will apply the din of Bar Metzra ultimately, again, to his inheritance portion. So we'll say, we'll stop over here with Yavam Mai. I'll share with you a shrine at the end of Parasha. So again, the idea being, we're going to see, do we apply the din of Bar Metzra to other portions that a person inherits or a person acquires, but not through a portion? So let me share with you now just a quick idea from the Parasha.